Apparently, it's not a big deal if I hit you with my skateboard. But this is the news, according to me. Well, those of you who've been listening to the news, you probably know what I'm talking about. Good evening. It's Wednesday evening, November 10th. 10:05. Is it 10:05? 9:05. I don't know what time it is. What time is it? It's 9:05 Eastern Standard Time. 8:05. Central Time, which is where I am. I'm in Appleton, Wisconsin right now. I'll be here for a few days, actually up until through the weekend, but and then I have a few days back home. I didn't have a show this morning. I told everybody I was going to have a show this morning. I thought I was going to have a show this morning. I ended up having to do a little sewing on some pants. I thought that I had another pair of pants with me. The pair of pants I had with me needed to be hemmed because they were just raw pants that I purchased that were way too long. They were about 6 inches too long. And I ended up having to do a little sewing this morning to get that hem put in so I could use those pants because they were the only pants I had. I didn't realize. I thought I had a couple other pairs of pants with me, and I don't. So I went off to the big box store tonight and bought a couple of $10 pair. Yeah, I dress for success. I have $10 pants. I purchased. Well, actually, I think the one pair was $16. Bought another couple other pairs that were on sale that were, I think, in the $15 range. And of course, there were some shirts that were just right there. They were also on clearance, so I picked up a couple shirts. And I actually got a little sweatshirt as well, just because it's there. And I usually get a nice sweatshirt every couple of years, and then I wear it until it gets kind of ratty, and then I keep wearing it for ratty stuff. No, I don't have a nice sweatshirt anymore. And so I went and got a nice sweatshirt again. I'll start over with this one. I recycle them, you know, every few years. In fact, I can't even find my old ratty one. I think it actually might be in my camper. It's probably the last place I used it. And of course, this time of year, it starts getting cooler. You start wondering what you did with the stuff that you had, you know, a year ago and or last season. And you put it away and you can't find it, so you have to go out and buy more stuff. And then you find it at some point. You find out you got all this stuff stashed away somewhere. And So I'm just looking at the news, and I noticed that there's one thing that's not in the news. I'm surprised they didn't cover it today. It's a big event. It's what I have in my cup. They're not talking about it. I have chocolate milk this evening. Just regular old chocolate milk. I went out and had a sandwich. You know, I just went to fast food, went to a drive-thru, gobbled down some food, and then I, rather than get ice cream, I was thinking about going someplace and getting like a chocolate shake or some chocolate ice cream or something. And I have chocolate milk in my hotel here. And I'll just do that. I just need something kind of chocolatey, kind of treaty, like kind of a treat type thing. And it just hits the spot. So it's probably better for me anyway. A little bit better for me anyway. One of the things I've been listening to today is the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Now, I think the other day I was calling him Rittenhour. I knew a Rittenhour when I was a kid, I was in my 20s. And I had that name stuck in my head. So if I accidentally, I mean no disrespect to Rittenhouse over this, but I probably pronounced, I think I said his name wrong the other day when I was talking about him, and I apologize for that, but I also don't mean to do that. If I happen to do that, please comment and correct me, but I honestly do not mean to do that. I unfortunately just have this friend of mine, and it's that name is stuck in my head, and so occasionally I will say that. So if I do that, I'm sorry. Apologize right now, but I'm talking about Rittenhouse, the trial of the year, looks like it's going to be one of them, one of the trials of the year. Now, there's some things that, for those of you who weren't around during the O.J. Simpson era, this has some of the same, I would say, flavor of that, which is quite alarming. However, this kid, this is a very different situation. This is a defendant who, if you've seen the scene, I don't know if any of you have seen what you've seen of the trial. I've seen it several times now. It's been played over and over on the news, at least on some news stations. The mainstream media, the legacy media, MSM, what they call, you know, what has been commonly referred to as MSN, has not been kind to Kyle. They have called him, even the president called him a white supremacist with an AR, what did he call it, AR-12 or whatever he called it, running around randomly killing people, crossed state lines with a gun to run down to Kenosha and kill people. Well, the fact is, he lives in Illinois. Illinois is very close to Wisconsin. I don't know if you know that. It's a bordering city, bordering type place. It's not unusual for people living in Chicago to work in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee even. Now, keep in mind, Kenosha is not even as far as Milwaukee. Kenosha is south of Milwaukee, I think. Maybe I should look at my map on that one. I think it is. Let's take a look at the map here, Bob. I just want to make sure where that's at. I think it's no, it's not unusual. Now he worked in that town. That's where he worked. Now there's Racine, Evanston. Yeah, Evanston, Racine, Kenosha. It is about halfway from the state line. Well, wait a minute. No, it's not even that far. Waukegan, Zion, Illinois. We're talking Kenosha is 20 minutes probably from the state line. Maybe. If he lives, depending on where, I think he lives around the Antioch area, maybe, or Zion area. He's right on the border of Illinois right there. And so that is not a long distance to be driving to go to. I think he works in that community. So it's not unlike he would just, hey, I have an opportunity to go up there and take my gun and protect, play the big guy and protect. I tell you what, I listened to Geraldo this evening. Those of you who know Geraldo. He, as some of my friends pronounce his name, Geraldo or Geraldo. It's Geraldo. He made some comments tonight. At least he was on the side of justice in what he said. He said, now, obviously, Kyle was justified in using force. They were trying to kill him. The one fellow, they were trying to make it out as the prosecution kind of painted this one picture. It wasn't until he was cross-examined that it started to make a lot of sense. And what ended up happening was he finally had to admit that, yes, he did put his hands up, but he had his gun in his hand, but then he lowered his gun and started and pointed it at Kyle's head. That's when Kyle fired on him. He thought he was going to shoot him. Now, he didn't aim to shoot at his arm or shoot at the gun and do a Biden. Just shoot him in the leg. That's all you got to do. Just shoot him in the leg. Don't have to shoot him in the... Yeah, just do that. Why don't you go out and do that, Joe? That's what he's telling cops to do. If you're going to use lethal force, you have to use it lethally. You can't just shoot somebody in the leg. It just doesn't work that way in the moment. You shoot center mass, you shoot to kill. That's why you're using a gun. This isn't Annie Oakley. This isn't, you know, Buck Rogers, Jared, whatever it is, Cowboy Rogers, whatever his name was, Will Rogers. So you have to understand what is happening with this stuff. He is in the midst of a war zone. Now, he's not running around shooting people who probably deserve to be shot. This whole trial thing, it has really, what really disturbed me was when I saw the full clip of Kyle breaking down. This kid has a heck of a lot of courage. My understanding is his defense team was not going to put him on the stand unless he wanted to take the stand. In other words, he took the stand because he wanted to in his testimony. He was fighting, still fighting, as he was describing the events that took place. This young man has PTSD. If there was ever a case for it, ever a diagnosis in front of everybody to see, this young man has been severely traumatized by the events that happened that night. He was there earlier in the day. He was cleaning graffiti. He was running around with a fire extinguisher to put out fires, trying to keep things from happening. And that's really what started this whole thing. There was a guy who had started a dumpster fire and was rolling a dumpster to someplace. He went with it, got a fire extinguisher and put the fire out. That made the guy mad. That's what started this whole thing. He stopped a crime from being committed. The guy who was doing this should have thanked him for that. Yeah, he would have gotten away with it. Don't get me wrong. The guy who was pushing the dumpster into a gas station, if it would have blown up and killed somebody, he would have gotten away with it. Nobody would have gone after him. Oh, you know, they're just protesting. Mostly peaceful. He was peaceful. You know, it was the gas that exploded. It wasn't him that exploded. And everybody's saying, oh, he shouldn't have been down there. Well, neither should have anybody else that was lighting things on fire. They shouldn't have been down there. If he shouldn't have been down there, they shouldn't have been down there. They had every right to be down. Everybody had a right to be down there. Some people didn't have a right to be doing what they were doing. They certainly didn't have a right to be attacking this young man. He was not hurting anyone. He was not pointing his gun at anyone until they came after him for trying to stop them from committing crimes. Or at least, and he wasn't even physically stopping them, hindering them from doing those things. He was just disarming the crime. That's all that was going on there. He didn't physically hurt anybody or touch anybody even up until that point. The only people he physically touched were people he helped who were injured because he had a first aid kit with him. He was a young man who was trained to do all those things. He wanted to be a police officer. He was I think he was literally a Boy Scout, I believe. Someone who wanted to be a positive impact on the community. But he also had to have a gun with him so he could protect himself. This prosecutor, you want to call him that, kept asking him why he didn't leave his gun when he went running over to do something and to help out with this other spy. Why didn't he put his gun down or give his gun to someone else to hold on to? Because apparently earlier in the day when he was helping someone and applying medicinal care to them, tending to someone's wounds earlier in the day, he handed his gun to someone else, but it was somebody he knew. He said, hold my gun, I'll take care of the medical emergency here. Well, why didn't you just give your gun to somebody else then when you went running through there, when you went running over to this other spot? They were trying to trick him and trying to, well, you must have taken your gun because you were expecting to get into, you know, a fight. No, I take my gun with me. You know why I take my gun with me? Because I'm not expecting to get into a fight, but I know that a possibility could arise. And unfortunately, the way the guy was asking the question, Kyle could not understand because the question was ridiculous. That's why Kyle could not understand the question. He kept saying, I don't understand the question. What do you mean? Why? And Kyle was trying to explain, I wasn't expecting a fight. I wasn't expecting to use my gun. So I was taking it with me because I needed it to protect myself. A police officer doesn't strap his gun on his side because he's expecting to use it. It's there in case he needs it. He's not putting it on thinking, I'm going to go down, help me down some criminals tonight. I'm going to shoot them up. Now, there may be some cops out there like that. I don't know. There are a few bad apples, but that's not the common way the cops act. They put that gun on hoping they will never, ever have to use it. And believe me, it's not an easy thing for them to live with ever, I know that there was a young police officer in my community. This is many years ago, about 25 years ago. He's pretty new on the force. He's been there. He was a county officer for about 9 months. A robber was coming out of a bank. He had shot. Shots had been fired in the bank. Nobody had been hurt. He didn't know that. All he knew was shots were fired. He was around the back of the bank, and of course, this guy decides to come out of the back of the bank, holding his gun in his hand. He goes running off. As the guy turned around and lifted up his gun, he's running away from this cop. But he turned around with the gun, was going to shoot at the cop. This is a trick that they all like to do because you got to think twice about shooting somebody in the back. He shot him and killed him. The cop did. It was devastating for this officer. I think he was out off of work for about 6 months dealing with it. And it was fully justified. He was doing his job. Who knows what else this guy would have done with that gun? We just don't know. You're playing straw man and playing conjecture. But the point is, he was stopped. Period. He did his job. Sad that he had to do his job, but he did it. And even though he was justified in doing what he did, it was still emotionally difficult for him. This is the situation. This is somebody who's an adult. Kyle was 17. He's now 18. And when I see this kid up there trying to tell the story, he's trying to choke back the tears. He's trying to get past it, not even trying to make an issue out of the tears themselves. He doesn't want people to see that he's even crying. And yet he continues on until the judge finally says, we're going to take a recess. That's traumatic, folks. He is traumatized. And it amazes me that the MSM, the mainstream media, has made him out, all the things that they were saying about him. He chased down this guy and shot him. That's what they're saying. He took this gun across state lines. He did not take the gun across state lines. He went across state lines and picked up the gun from his, I don't know if it was an acquaintance or a relative of his. He was not, if he was underage, there's actually stipulation. They're saying, oh, he was carrying a gun and he was underage. That's not the case either. They're not going to get him on a gun charge. People are still saying that he was still underage and he was carrying a gun. Nope, you can carry a gun at the age of 17. It's a pretty gray area. There's a thing there, a stipulation there that they might be able to get him on a loophole there. I doubt that anybody's, the whole trial has been politicized. Now this gets to the point of how weaponized our justice system has become. And this gets back again to more and more of my case against the FBI, Merrick Garland, the Justice Department, if you want to call it that, the DOJ, Department of Justice, and how weaponized and politicized they've become. Look at what happened to him. Here's a part of the case that not very many people are talking about. The FBI had a drone, a high-resolution, very expensive drone, flying around the riot area. Cops were not going into the riot area. You're like, oh, let them do it. Let them do whatever they're going to do in there. Kyle had the audacity, as Geraldo would say. He was this, all the names he called him, even though he stood up for the fact that he had the right to protect himself, he still said he shouldn't have been there. He was a glory seeker. He wanted to be the hero, all this stuff. He had a hero complex. You want to talk about somebody who's got personality disorders and hero complexes? It's Geraldo. A lot of nerve. He was just upset because he was shown up by a 17-year-old. 17-year-old that have more courage than he has. And I'll say, all these things that I'm saying about Geraldo, by the way, if I ever meet him in person and have a chance to talk to him, I will tell these things. I would say these things to his face. Anything that I say about somebody like that, I will say it to their face. Geraldo is ridiculous in the things he was saying about Kyle. It's atrocious, the things he was saying about Kyle. Ridiculous. but I digress. The justice system had the FBI had a drone flying around over the riot. I guess they just wanted to, hey, let's watch the game. It's like, we'll sit around and drink some beers and watch, you know, watch the riots go on. Don't worry, we don't have to protect anybody from this. Maybe we can get some information on some people and use it on them later. If any of these people down there downtown run for office, we can say, hey, we got your picture here in this riot. So now you got to behave. You got to do what we tell you to do. It's the old shakedown process that they do all the time. So they have this high resolution footage. And they had other footage that was actually more specifically zoomed in on what was going on between Kyle and the other people. And because they didn't actually get, supposedly, they didn't get actual footage of the actual shooting as it was taking place. All we have is some pictures. Which they had. You see, they had footage of that. And they're so competent. The FBI is so competent, so professional, that, oh, we lost that footage. How convenient of them. They should be charged with a crime. That was evidence. That was evidence. And they lost it. You know, if I lose evidence in a crime, if I commit a crime and I lose evidence, when the IRS shows up, to go over my bank records. Well, I lost all that. Sorry. I guess I'm off the hook then. That's not the way it works, boys. At least it's not the way it should work. It's the way it's been working. The FBI goes after James O'Keefe and his associates on trumped up charges over a diary that was supposedly stolen, that wasn't the actual diary. But it must have been the diary. Because it has information in there about Joe taking showers with his daughter. And other creepy things. The other things that the FBI has been involved in. The Hunter Biden issue, the Jesse Smollett stuff, the dossier with the Trump Russia collusion stuff. This is not boding well. I mean, when you look at all the stuff the FBI has done. What did they do on 9/11, by the way? They didn't stop that from happening, did they? That's how competent they are. That's how competent our intelligence agencies are. Or some would say that they were in on it. I just think they're just incompetent. They're so caught up in being a part of the political machine. And of course, our news media is also just a part of the political arm of the party. I've often contended that if a revolution did break out, first thing you'd have to do is control the media. This country. You're not going to win hearts and minds with this media that we have. They're not fair. They're going to look at what happened on January 6th. And now they're going after the guy with the horns. They're going after him as just because he's an icon of that day. We have to treat him differently. We have to give him time in jail. He didn't destroy anything. He didn't do anything. Didn't hurt anybody. He trespassed. He didn't break in, actually, by the way. He had nothing to do with any break-ins. They claim that he was inciting things on social media and that day he was. He became the icon, so we have to make an example out of him. That's great. Because, you know, that's a crime, making an example. Being an example is a crime. Let's not mention the operatives that were involved that day from the FBI, by the way, working undercover to entice these people into doing things. They didn't just embed themselves. They actually were part of the instigations. absolutely amazing to me. They're getting away with this crap. It's disgusting. It's filthy. It's just, it's treasonous, in my opinion. So here we have this situation now where Kyle is on trial. The prosecution, if you haven't been paying attention to it, the prosecution has done an absolutely horrible job. They're making the case for, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say there's some criminal defense lawyers that have made commentary on some of this stuff. Mr. Grueler is one of them. He's got a channel on YouTube where he just talks about cases. This has been one of the big cases he's been covering. He'll talk for several hours about what's going on with the cases and all the different points of it. Very good, thorough analysis. Just excellent stuff. Talks about the legal system and the legal structure and what happens in those cases. He said, if he was the defense lawyer in this case, he'd be tempted to just say, to stand up and say, I rest my case. The prosecution has made my case for me in our defense. It was that bad. In my opinion, now I don't know if you know, the judge scolded the prosecuting attorney at least once. He was reprimanded several times. One of them was really just a scathing reprimand from the judge to the prosecuting attorney because of what he had said. He basically was excoriating Kyle for not speaking prior to the trial. One of the rights you have is to remain silent. I didn't realize this was a big deal. I wouldn't have thought that much about it in the trial, but apparently excoriating someone for exercising their constitutional right, I guess that's almost like grounds for a dismissal of the case or a mistrial, I guess is what they're talking about. And the judge is actually taking that under consideration. The defense moved to do that. It's not really in the defense's interest, the way I understand it. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast. And if I understand correctly, it would not be in their best interest to get a... At this point, they're winning, so... supposedly winning. What I was saying earlier about the situation with... It reminds me a lot of O.J. in the criminal case. O.J. lost, by the way. O.J. lost the civil case. He was found to be guilty or to be complicit in their death. Nobody talked about that. That one wasn't on television. The criminal case was on. This trial, unfortunately, reminds me a lot of that in respect to the way the jury is really where it all matters at this point. Everyone thought that OJ was going to be found guilty. Anybody who was watching the trial who had a half a brain, like, yeah, we know he did it. It was not guilty. They found him not guilty. Most of the people on the jury said, we just wanted to get back because of what they did to Rodney King. They were using the court as an opportunity. They're letting a killer go. And of course, he committed more crimes after that. He ended up in prison for other reasons after that, because he was just unhinged. He was out of control. Literally got away with murder in the criminal case. My concern is that the people on this jury may have embedded themselves and played the game as if they were unbiased. They got on the jury and now they're going to find him guilty. The case is going so poorly at this point that apparently the cousin of the individual who was killed, or possibly the individual who was somehow related to this case, has been making threats to the jury. They've been filming and taking pictures of the jury to go after them if they're basically trying to intimidate the jury. So my question is, Mr. Garland, Attorney General, are you going to launch an investigation? Are you going to call these people domestic terrorists? because they're terrorizing the jury? Or is this okay in this case? Because, you know, political correctness and Black Lives Matter, there's a protest, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, because Kyle's white. By the way, the people he shot were also white. He's a white supremacist out shooting white people. They don't mention that. They just say he was a white supremacist out there because apparently all the people who were rioting were black. You have to understand Antifa, the anti-fascists that run around and try to get you to say their slogan. It's the epitome of fascism, by the way. When I would see people marching down the street, going into restaurants, and making people say a political phrase, or we're gonna trash the place. We're gonna hurt you if you don't say it. That's fascism right there. That's the definition of fascism, forcing someone to make a political statement against their will. And yet they're the anti-fascists, we're being told. Let's change gears a little bit and talk about COVID. There hasn't been a whole lot in the news about it lately, just because of the Kyle Rittenhouse Chase trial and everything else that's going on. There's also a lot of things that are apparently happening with Biden's approval rating is just tanking, and of course Kamala's is worse than that. Apparently she went to Europe. I guess she met with Macron, the French Prime Minister. Macron met with him. Big deal. No, that's a big deal. Neither one of them were wearing a mask, by the way, when they were meeting, because they're fully vaccinated, which makes them, you know, immune to anything. So, it's just a lot of weird stuff going on right now. And the news media tries to drive the narrative. Of course, they always do. And if you pay too much attention to that, if you don't watch some of the peripheral, I should say, peripheral stuff that's out there, peripheral news, you'll miss a lot of the important stuff they're trying to slide by while nobody's watching. Basically, all the other stuff is happening. So I'm sure Merrick Garland is looking into, you know, launching an investigation into the gerrymandering, jury intimidation going on up there in Wisconsin. He'll probably say, oh, that's a county issue. That's the state of Wisconsin has to deal with that. Now, if somebody steals their diary, steals a jury member's diary, then we have to go after them. We can bust in and take all kinds of information. That's what's happening in the world. Speaking of COVID, I guess I was going on. I was changing gears there. Trying to change gears. I got it stuck. I dumped the clutch, and it was kind of. I was grinding some gears there in the attempt to change gears. I had to do a real good job. The COVID thing continues to be a bit of a problem. The longer this thing goes on, the more issues that start to pop up. The reason I'm convinced that they had to they had to get this done quickly and get everybody vaccinated as quick. That's why they're putting these mandates and the time frame on it that they are, because they're finding that there are some issues, and what they want to do is have everybody on this thing so that everybody's in the same boat. Now think about how the Democrats always operate. Most politicians in general, basically, but the Democrats are this is their SOP. They create a crisis that they then have the solution for. Well, don't worry, we have the answer for this. Here's a really good example of this kind of thing on a macro scale. Recently, Adam Schiff was on The View. He was not expecting, The View usually is very nice to him, and they treat him like he is the smartest person in the room, and he has all this information on Donald Trump, and he hates Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is the big bad orange man. And they ended up putting him on there. Well, this one commentator that they happen to have on as a guest they weren't expecting this, but she's more of a conservative, a little bit more of a downright, just straight up kind of truth seeker type person. A little bit more of a balanced commentator, or not commentator, but just a reporter. She went after him, and she went after him hard. She basically accused him of, in the news media, of how this whole Russia hoax thing was perpetuated, and the whole, you know, he was out there every day for years talking about Donald Trump and how he's seen the evidence, and because he was the chair of the intelligence committee or whatever it was, in the Senate committee or whatever it was. And they were expecting more from him, and he was out there every day talking about how Trump, you know, he colluded with Russia and all this stuff. He doubled down. He came back and said, "Well, I think you're categorizing it. I would disagree with the way you're framing it or whatever." He goes, "Just because someone lied to Christopher Steele, you know, this guy who's now has been arrested is, well, you know, someone lied to him. We couldn't tell that someone had lied to him." Well, yeah, you can tell. You can investigate. You can corroborate. You can go back and see whether or not anything can be vetted. Information can be vetted. An individual can be vetted. You're the chief of the whatever intelligence committee, whatever thing. Tell me you can't find out more about a person and find out what's going on. You just, the whole time he's telling us that the evidence is in plain sight, and he still doubled down and said, well, and Trump did ask for their help in the election, and he did ask for their help in the second election. Okay, you throw that out there again with no evidence of anything. If he did ask for their help, it would have been in the Mueller report. There was nothing in the Mueller report. In fact, one of the first statements that Mueller made was that no one in the Trump campaign was found to have any kind of collusion with the Russians. And of course, they went on to convict accuse him of being the incendiary antagonist of the insurrection that happened on January 6th. He's guilty of that too. I saw today that they're now subpoenaing, and I think they're calling Kylie McEnany. She was the press secretary for a while. Now they're calling her in, subpoenaing her, and somebody else. This is the weaponization, a political weaponization of the justice system. It is so obvious. They were the ones that say, you don't go after your political opponents. No, you don't do that. You can't go after Hillary Clinton because she's the loser. You can't go after her. You can go after the winner. You can't go after the loser. They had all these rules they came up with. They make up the rules as they go. It's their game. They're playing it, and they can change the rules at a whim. They come up with this stuff. Until they're on the other side of it, and it's all of a sudden the rules change again. It'll be the other way, other direction when they, you know, when they're the loser, when they're the winner, then they, of course, now you're the winner. You can't. Well, we won. There's nothing to see here. The election was perfect, and there was nothing to see. No, it wasn't that way 4 years ago. It was nothing but conspiracy and a bunch of baloney about Donald Trump not winning. Liz Cheney has come out now and said that Donald Trump is deranged and dangerous. Liz, got news for you. You're the one that's deranged. Okay, just letting you know. That's my analysis. I'm not a doctor, but I think you need your medications looked at. Somebody needs to look at him. I don't know if it's, are you taking horse medicine? Is that what it is? Because apparently something's wrong. You need to be looked at. It has really gotten off the rails, in my opinion. The whole COVID thing, of course, as I was saying, there are people now that they're actually, I think the Moderna vaccine, the European Soccer Federation, has had soccer players now dropping. A couple of them have died on the field while they're playing. Just literally just dropping right over. There's video of this stuff. Many of them, not just a couple, with heart issues. Out of the blue, and this is in the federation over there. It's like our National Football Association or whatever you want to call it. But the football, the soccer, they call it football federation over there, has basically raised an alarm. They've actually raised concern on paper with the issue that's happening. They're concerned about all this. The heart issues and these guys just falling down, just like literally passing out in the field, just keeling right over. They're not even like they'll have a problem, they'll be in pain, and all the next, or some of them just some once in a while they're kind of walking or running, just kind of trotting along, and all of a sudden, boom, they're just on the ground. One of them face planted. There's video of this stuff. Completely collapsing with heart issues. These are athletes. And most of the people who've had problems with the reactions to the shots have been athletes. At least they've had really adverse reactions to it. It's alarming. And the Moderna shot now has been, I think, banned, I believe, in Denmark. And I heard that in Canada, the Moderna was banned for anybody who's under 23 years old. They can only use the Pfizer. Gee, what else are they going to find out in the next year or two? Matthew McConaughey now, he's been vaccinated, but he will not have his children vaccinated until he knows more information. He wants to know more information before he gets his kid vaccinated. Good for him. And good for anybody who wants to get vaccinated. That's your choice. That's your thing. You want to take that risk? I think it's a risk, just as much as, and of course, I'm a science denier because I'm saying that. Even though the science is being quelched and being railroaded. By the way, I saw this thing today about Dr. Fauci's wife. I haven't really looked at this at all, but apparently Dr. Fauci's wife is the head of an organization, it's an NGO. It's not a government organization, but it's an organization that actually does the approvals for the FDA. It's a laboratory of research lab of some sort, NIH. It does research for that. They're the ones that are in charge. Her organization, her laboratory, is the one that's in charge of doing the FDA testing for these vaccines. If that's the case, there seems to be a little bit of conflict of interest there. It's kind of like Mitch McConnell's wife being the head of the relations between it wasn't an ambassador, but it was like a business relation thing between the U.S. and China. His wife is Chinese. Doesn't talk about that much. Her last name is Chow, by the way. She doesn't go by McConnell. And you would never know it. They never talk about it, but all of a sudden it kind of came out during the election, this last election. Yeah. McConnell needs to go. Pelosi needs to go. Nadler needs to go. A lot of these old dinosaurs just need to be done. They need to retire. Been around too long. Kevin McCarthy, my opinion. Gotta go. He comes out and talks down to everybody. He thinks he's talking so nice and slow to everybody because nobody understands. He has to talk down to people like they're stupid because people are stupid and he has to explain it to them. He is nothing but a rhino as well, by the way. If he's pressured enough politically, he will go on. He'll do the right thing, but he doesn't do it all the time. Here comes my bumper music. I think I've said quite enough today. All right. There will be a show tomorrow morning. I'm planning on having one fairly early in the morning, if I can get up that early. See how that works out for me. In the meantime, continue to pray for our nation, pray for those in power, pray for those guys that, you know, working for the FBI that have to obey orders and all that stuff. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. God bless everybody. Have a great night. I will talk to you in about 12 hours or less. Probably less. The music's getting loud.